Okay, tonight I just want to continue looking at the theme of the house of God with regards to glory. And we're going to read a scripture, which is where we finished last Wednesday, in the book of Haggai, chapter 2. So the book of Haggai is a small book at the end of the Old Testament. It's the third book from the end. So the last one of the Old Testament is Malachi, then there's Zechariah, if you're coming back towards the beginning, and then Haggai. It's only a little book, so it's easily missed. There's only two chapters. And we're going to read from chapter 2. While you're finding it, let me just refresh you with what we were doing last week. We were looking at the scripture in Isaiah where it says that God will glorify the house. He says, the house of my glory. And we were looking at our responsibility to the glory of God in regards to the way we treat the house of God. And we finished off last week by looking at the condition and the state of the temple, and that was at Jerusalem. It had been allowed through neglect to become a place of ruin.
In Old Testament, prima de Matteo, Malachi, Haggai. Capitolo 2, no?
Chapter 2. We're going to go to verse 3 to start with.
Capitolo 2, verso 3. Trovato?
Because as we were looking, we saw that the state of the temple, because of neglect, it had been allowed to become a place of ruin. It was broken down. It's okay. For the benefit of those that have just come in, we're in the book of Haggai, chapter 2. And I was just recapping on where we were last week, where we left off. We saw last week, we were looking at how God referred to his house as the house of his glory, and what our responsibility to the glory is in a connection with our responsibility to our attitude and our responsibility to the house of God. And where we left off last week, which is where we're picking it up from today, was in the book of Haggai chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 3 because of neglect and the other things that the people of God were doing, the temple had been allowed to fall into a state of disrepair. It was in ruins. Well, it wasn't being treated the way it should have been treated. And the prophet asked this question in verse 3 of Haggai 2, verse 3. He says, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? Now, last week we were looking a little bit at the glory of the temple in regards to how it was furnished. It was full of gold and silver, and there were precious stones. And the prophet asked him, so who among you is left who saw the temple in its former glory? He says, and now how do you see it? He says, in comparison now as to what it was back then, he says, is this not in your eyes as nothing? The people of God had really said, oh, well, it's just the house of God, you know, it's just the temple. It's, they didn't give it any honor, any thought. They allowed it to, maybe they started to stay away from going up to worship God, and probably just like people are doing today. And what we said last time and last week was that this is the sort of attitude. You said, oh, you know, I just can't be bothered. You know, how many of us? And it could have been very tempting tonight. Say, oh, I won't bother with the Bible study tonight because there's a game on that we want to watch. And we're not going to be home in that time to see it. So it was easy. We said, oh, well, we won't worry about it tonight. We'll stay at home and enjoy the TV. But no, our attitude isn't that we can't be bothered. We want to listen to God and come up before Him. And we see it today. Oh, it's only church. You see it, and we said this last week. You know, it's just the praise time. It's just another meeting. It's just I can skip tonight because it doesn't really matter. The people, and there's not many. Look at the prayer meeting. You know, the prayer meeting is always, I say always, most cases, in most churches, the prayer meeting is one of the most poorly attended services. It might not be that people are, you know, in our case, we have it on a Monday morning, so it might not always be convenient for people who work, but if it's an evening time service, we can't be bothered to go to the prayer meeting. You know, we can pray at home. You know, we have all this attitude towards the house of God, and it's not always good for us. God never considers the glory of His house as nothing. It's a very big thing with Him. Look what it says in verse 9. Still the same chapter, chapter 2, verse 9. He says, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Now, the former temple, as we saw a little bit last week, was a very glorious in its looks. It was a house of prayer. You know, prayer was made in that place. Actually, Solomon prayed. He said, Lord, this is, hear the prayer that's prayed in this place, even if it's from a foreigner who comes in. And he prays towards the temple. He says, hear his prayer. We saw last week, it was a house of praise. A place where praise was offered to God. There was music, there was song, there was prayer. In its appearance, it was spectacular. Gold and silver without and within. Costly fabrics, precious stones. All these things made up the structure of the temple. And as we saw also last week, on a couple of occasions, it was a place where God's glory was manifest so strong that at times the services just couldn't continue. The priests couldn't continue ministering. You know, the glory of God came down in that place, and such was the awesome presence of God in that place that the people just stopped what they were doing in reverence and awe at God's presence among them. And here in verse 9, the prophet, God speaking through the prophet, he said, you see how this temple is considered as nothing. It's in neglect. No, it's not been treated the way it should have been treated. Yet, he says, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former. The glory of the latter shall be greater than the former. You know, I suppose you've heard it like I've heard it. I used to hear it quite a lot, particularly from my grandmother. Now, she was a Christian. She believed God. She loved the Lord, and so do grandfather. But I used to spend a lot of time with them, talking with them, and you know, very often you'd hear Nan. She says, Pete. She says, it's not like it used to be. It was far much better back in the days when we didn't have all these things and didn't have all the distractions, you know, people that they ate together around the table. And she'd go back in time and say, it's not how it used to be. It was always better back then. You hear Christians say, oh, wouldn't it have been wonderful to have lived when Jesus lived? and when he walked on the earth. It would have been great to have been there and seen the miracles. Now, the former days were glorious. They were good. They were glorious. And we should thank God for them. And we should look back and say, yeah, we thank God for what we had and what we've come through. But the latter is going to be even more glorious. You know, I just want you to think about this. You know, we are a blessed generation. We are more blessed today than we have ever been. Now, it might not always appear to look this way when you look around at what's going on in the world, but actually we're living in better days now than we have ever lived in. Why? Because we are the only generation that has lived this close to the coming of the Lord. We're the only generation to live this close to the coming of the Lord. Yes, our grandparents and their grandparents and our ancestors, you know, they were close to the coming of the Lord. But today, we are living very close. Closer than they were living. Closer than the Apostle Paul was living. We're living very close to the coming of the Lord. And God's building a temple. We read this in the New Testament. And he says of this temple that he's building, it's going to have greater glory than what has already been seen. But the temple that he is building is not going to be a glorious temple because of its outward appearance. This is what I was preaching on the other day. It's not because of what it looked like on the outside. It's because of who is in the temple. Now, the temple God's building, of course, is the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, we see a little bit of what Jesus said about the Church in the book of Matthew. So let's just go over to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Now, I'm not going to read a lot of verses. I just really want to take one verse and kind of try and keep it in the context of how it's said. Matthew 16. I'm going to read verse 18. Because verse 18 is talking about the church. And Jesus here is speaking to the Apostle Peter. He's just told him that because of the revelation he had about Jesus being the Christ, he goes on to say that he was blessed. And then he says, I say to you also, that you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And then he goes on talking about the keys of the kingdom and prayer. I will build my church. Remember last week we're talking about God declared his house as the house of his glory. And here Jesus is saying, he says, I am going to build my church. Now, very often we hear, well, that's talking to pastors or leaders and say, well, that's your church, your response. No, it's his church. We're just overseers and guardians of a local fellowship, a local part of the church. But Jesus is building his church, and he's building his church on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And he says in the book of Ephesians, he said, Paul writes about Jesus, he says, he is the chief cornerstone, and the whole church is built upon him. The foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So the foundation of the church is Jesus, the Word of God. Now, I'm not going to get into the the scripture here in verse 18 of Matthew 16 that we read, where it talks about on this rock. But here I fully believe that where Jesus is talking here about this rock, obviously he's not referring to Peter, whose name, this is just a play on the words, because Jesus changes his name from Simon, which means one who listens, to the rock, Peter. And then he says, oh, by the way, he says, and on this rock, not you, Peter, the rock of the Word of God, the revealed Word of God. He says, I'm going to build my church on that, because that's what Paul underlines and emphasizes in the book of Ephesians and other scriptures. He says that the church is built on the foundation of God's Word. It's built on the apostles. It's built on the prophets. So, I will build my church. Jesus is building a church, a temple. Now, there are other scriptures that Paul wrote. Let's go to the book of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The first letter of Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you and me, each one of us, that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Then he says in verse 17, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. We are being raised up as the temple of God, the latter temple, and the glory of the latter temple will be greater than the glory of the former temple. The glory of the former temple was in its structure, in its wealth, yes, and in what went on in it. But the glory of the latter temple is the Church of Jesus Christ, you and me, that are being built as the temple of God, with the Spirit of God dwelling in us. Now there's a word of warning here that if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are. You are holy. The holy temple of God. The place of God's habitation. The place where God dwells. He's within us by his Spirit. We've seen it in verse 16. The Spirit of God dwells in you. In chapter 6, let's just go over a couple of pages. In chapter 6, verse 19. Again, we read similar words. Don't forget, Paul is writing this to the same, this is the same church, this is even the same letter. Paul is underlining it again. He says here, verse 19, he says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? See, we have the Holy Spirit inside us. It comes from God. He comes from God. Sent by God. Whom you have from God, and you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We became the temple of God the moment we received Jesus into our lives. The moment we were born again of the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God came and dwelt among us, dwelt in us. We became the temple, and we're being fashioned and changed. Now, we may not be completely clean in regards of the things we do, but inside we are made holy. We're made righteous. Now, God works on the Holy Spirit works on everything else in our lives. That's why we can never wait until we're good enough to get right with God, because we will never get right with God if we wait in like that. You know, we come to God as we are, and God loves us, He saves us, He washes our sin, and then He begins the work of knocking off all the little bits that aren't good. So our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and as an individual member of the church, now, it's up to you and it's up to me. We are responsible for keeping our own body, our own temple, right before God, clean before God. But, and individually, we come together to form the church, the local church. And the local churches form the church. So we are being built up, we are being established.
Why is today? Don't tell me, you know what? What I have to preach on Sunday. Uh-huh. This morning, thank you.
Let's keep going. I've got a few more scriptures to look at before we get through tonight. That's okay. Ephesians chapter 2. We're looking at, we are the temple of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, again, verse 19. I've already quoted part of this scripture. It says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners. We were afar off. We were once strangers. We were once aliens. We were once without God, without hope in this world. But now, it says, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Having been built, is the scripture I've just quoted, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, now don't, this is not talking about a physical building. This is not talking about a church, perhaps as we understand church, where it's made of four walls and it's got a roof and maybe a tower or something. And we are being built on the foundation of God's word. The whole building, it says, being fitted together. What God is doing is fit together, and it grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You know, when we come together, oh, how dangerous it is for us to neglect the coming of ourselves together. Paul writes in Hebrews and says, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, and it's the manner of some today to forsake the gathering of themselves together. But when we come together, we're being built up, we're being built together, we're being established, we are fit together, we're growing together into a holy temple in the Lord, a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. You don't have to turn there, but in the book of Revelation, we read about the bride of Christ. If you're taking notes, it's Revelation 19, verse 8. And the bride of Christ is the church of Jesus Christ. And we see in this scripture in Revelation, it says, to her, to the church, she's talking about here, it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. The church is being clothed and arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, waiting for the marriage of the Lamb and the church, the bride and the groom. You know, it's going to be a glorious day. We're being built up a glorious temple. And the glory of the latter temple will be greater than the glory of the former. just over the page in chapter 5, Ephesians 5. Still in Ephesians. Now this is one we often read at chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5. We often read this at wedding ceremonies. And I'm going to skip the scriptures which talks about wives being submissive to their husbands. We're going to go to verse 25. Because here it says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word." There, now this is a word to husbands, to love our wives, just as Christ loved it. Christ loved the church. Christ loves the church. He loves his people. And he gave himself for her. He gave his life for his bride, the church. Now, we haven't got time tonight, but in, I believe it's the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about that Jesus endured the cross with joy. The joy, what was joyful about the cross? Nothing about the physical structure of the cross. Nothing was joyful about the agonizing death. But what was joyful for him was the prize, the bride, his people, what he knew he was going to redeem and purchase. That was the joy. That's how he endured the cross. It says here, it says he gave himself for her. And he says that he might sanctify and cleanse her. How does he sanctify and cleanse his people? It's with his word. He washes us with his word. You know, we have his word. It feeds us. It cleanses us. It puts us right. The scripture says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God in the book of Timothy. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. And it says, "It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now there's cleansing, there's training, there's instruction, there's reproof through the word of God. It's not through trials and situations we're in. It's not through physical things, that afflictions that we go through. God cleanses us through his word.
Thank you.
That's how he cleanses us. That's how he trains us. That's how he chastises us. Through the word. So he says here, that's where he might sanctify and cleanse her, the church, you and me, with the washing of water by the word. Look at verse 27. "That he might present her to himself a feeble, weak and dirty church." Ephesians 5. No, it says, he's going to present her to himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Wow, what words. He's going to present her to present us, the church, to himself as a glorious church. A church without any defects. A church without any spot, without wrinkle, without any blemish. Now we might think we have blemishes, and we have spots, and we have wrinkles. But the glory of the latter temple will be greater than the glory of the former. Why? Because God himself is building this church, his temple, of which we are part. I'm not going to take time tonight to read these verses, but if you want to write these down, you can make a note of them. Both of these are in the first letter of Peter.
Right, please, the
one Peter. Yeah, First Peter.
First Peter. You know how many Christians there are among the other players, eh? Thank God. First Peter
chapter 4 and verse 12 to 17. Now I'm not going to take time to read all the verses, because there's 5-6 verses there, but if you read this through, you'll see that he starts off saying, don't think it strange concerning the trial which is to try you, the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange things happened to you. He says, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, that you may be glad with exceeding joy. And he goes on in those verses, and when you go through trials, when you go through hard times, and he says, rejoice because you know that the glory of God is being revealed. It's going to be revealed. This is an opportunity for God's glory. And we should rejoice. How does he put it? He puts it with exceeding joy, verse 13. That you may be glad with exceeding joy. Now, you're not being joyful at all the problems that are coming. It's the glory of God that's going to be manifest in you, that's going to redeem you, that's going to deliver you. And you're going to see God's hand at work when you go through these fiery trials. Again, back in chapter 1, 1 Peter 1, he writes, again, similar things. 1 Peter 1 verse 6. Just to encourage us. He says, even though our faith is tried, it will be found to give God praise. In 1 Peter 1 6 it says this, in this you greatly rejoice. He's talking about the incorruptible inheritance that we have that's reserved in heaven for us. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. It says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You know, the genuineness of our faith, he says, which is much more precious than gold. Gold, the glory of the latter temple was perishing. Sorry, the former temple was perishing. We saw it right at the very beginning in the book of Haggai. Yeah, it's considered as nothing. Maybe it was in ruins. It had been allowed to be neglected. It started to perish and decay. But the gold does perish. But the genuineness of our faith is more precious than gold. And when it goes through the fire, it comes out giving praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God is building his church. He's sanctifying her. He's cleansing her. He's preparing her for that glorious occasion when we are wed and married to the Lamb. I'll just close with this one scripture. Because we read earlier on that the church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are being built up as the church. So the church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm just going to leave this verse with you. I'm not going to do any teaching on it. This will be something for you to meditate on over the coming days. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You can actually read the whole chapter, but I'm just going to go to one verse in this chapter. Because it's talking about... talks about Moses and what happened to Moses, and how God revealed himself through Moses. Then he goes on in verse 8, he says this.
Verse 8.
He says, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Now, you've got to read the context of what's being said. How 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. Yeah. You have to read the whole chapter to see what Paul's, how he's building up to this statement. So he's talking about the tablets of stone, how they were they were something temporary. Then he goes on about the new covenant. He talks about the ministry of Moses. But then he goes on and he says, in verse 8, he says, how will the ministry of the Holy Spirit not be more glorious? Now that was glorious back then, but the ministry of the Holy Spirit is much more glorious in these latter days. And we're going to finish it then. We will, God willing, wrap up this teaching next week.